heart right with God. And he just come that close to getting right with the Lord. But as far as we know, never did. As far as we know, never did. Acts chapter 26. And look with me, if you will, over and about verse number 24. Acts chapter 26 and verse 24. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. When you use that word mad there in the New Testament, he's not talking about temper mad. He's talking about crazy mad. Now here was the greatest apostle on the face of the earth, and this man said, you're crazy. Isn't it amazing how that people have that same attitude now? You know, if a person really gets right with God nowadays, a lot of times people think they've lost it. They say, I believe you've gone off the deep end. You've carried this thing too far. You've just went. And the reason that is because they just have no earthly idea what's going on. So they think, you must be crazy or you wouldn't be doing and talking and acting like you are. You've changed so much, Paul. You've learned so much, you flipped your lid. But Paul hadn't flipped his lid. He was right. And then he said in verse 25, but he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with him. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, this man doeth nothing worthy of death or in bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. I'll preach from verse number 28 this morning, where the king looked at Paul and said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I'd like to preach to you for a few minutes on the subject, almost a Christian. Here is a story of a great man, an influential man, a powerful man of his day, who looked right into the fiery eyes of a well-seasoned, probably red, weather-beaten faced preacher and almost decided to get saved, but didn't. I read a story one time of a young woman in Philadelphia who many years ago who was convicted of a crime and sentenced to die. Her sentencing day come, and her brother and family have been trying to get her a pardon from the government, and finally did get it. He rode his horse to the site where she would be killed that day, executed by the state, and got there just after the execution had taken place. And even though he had the pardon in his hand that would have set his sister free, he did not quite make it soon enough. He almost made it. If he'd have been there just a few hours earlier, she could have went free. And you see the difference that word almost can make. There's an old saying out in the world that almost don't count, except for in horseshoes. That's true. In the things of God, almost don't count. Almost going to the altar don't count like going to the altar. almost saying, well, I'm just about ready to give my heart to the Lord, doesn't count like giving your heart to the Lord. I believe there's people in here this morning. I believe, and I preach with a burden this morning. There's people sitting in front of me that you've just been that close several times to really getting right with God, and you hold back. And you get just that close again, and you hold back. You've almost been persuaded to be a Christian. Now let me say three things about this quickly this morning. This will not be long, so you listen real carefully. Number one, what you might be and not be a Christian. I say this because a lot of people have some funny ideas of what a Christian is. These are some things that you can be and not be a Christian. Now everybody listen carefully. Settle down. No one else move, okay? Listen carefully. These are things that you can be and not be a Christian. Number one, you can be born into a Christian family. You'd be surprised at the people who think, well, I was taken to church all of my life. My mother's a Christian. My grandmother's a Christian. My dad's a Christian. I guess I'm a Christian. You can be born into a Christian family and not be a Christian. I stress this to our young people. I tell it to my girls. I tell it to everybody. Becoming a Christian is something that you and between you and the Lord. It's not between you and daddy or mother or son or daughter. It's an individual thing that you must settle between you and God. Nobody is born a Christian. You have to be born again to become a Christian. Just because, listen, I don't care if your grandmother has wings, they might be horns, you better check it. I don't care if your daddy's been a deacon for 100 years. I don't care if your daddy's been a preaching for 500 years. This does not make you a Christian. Now, when I was growing up, my mom was saved. My mom got me when I was little and set me on her lap. She took that family Bible. She showed me pictures. She taught me about God. My mom taught me about God. I say it all the time. You ladies don't know how important it is for you to teach your children about the Lord. My mom taught me about God. She said, Danny, taught me about there's a heaven, there was a hell. But that my mom could not get saved for me. Mom knew she could put the Word of God in me. She could instruct me. But salvation was something that I had to come to a point where I said, I'm ready. I'm willing. I came. I accepted the Lord. I got saved, not with my mama, not because of my mama, but because I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. Born into a Christian family does not make you a Christian. A lot of people say, well, I was born a Methodist. I was raised a Methodist. Well, good. I'm proud of you. But that don't make you a Christian. People say, I was born a Baptist. I've lived all my life a Baptist. I was born a Presbyterian. All that. Fine. That don't make you a Christian. I heard about this one little church is out in the country somewhere. And they've had several little churches. A little Methodist church, a little Baptist church, a little Presbyterian church. And they all got together and they said, well, ain't nobody comes to neither one of them. Let's just all combine them together and make us one little community church. So they said, that's a good idea. Let's do that. We're all going to have just one little community church and try to just build it together. Well, they got together and they talked a little bit. And of course, the name come up. And as soon as that name come up, there began to be a little bit of disagreement there. Of course, the Presbyterians wanted to be Presbyterian. The Baptists wanted to be Baptist. The Methodists wanted to be Methodist or whatever they was. And they said, well, we're not going to agree on this. They said, I'll tell you what let's do. Let's just call ourselves the Christians. And everybody said, that's pretty good. One old fella jumped up. He said, no, I'm not going along with that at all. They said, what's wrong? He said, no way, you're not going to do that. They said, how come, brother? He said, I want to tell you guys something right now. He said, I was born a Baptist. He said, I've lived a Baptist. He said, I've been all my life a Baptist. He said, I'll die a Baptist. You're not going to make no Christian out of me. I said, yeah, that's about the truth. That's about the way it goes, isn't it? He has lived a Baptist, died a Baptist, and he'll go to hell a Baptist. You hear me this morning? Being a Baptist don't make a Christian out of you. You can come join this church. It does not make a Christian out of you. You are not born into a Christian family and make you a Christian. No way in this world. Let me tell you something else. Raised in a Christian atmosphere don't make you a Christian. You say, oh, I was taught all of my life to do good to my neighbor, and I never have stole nothing, and I've always done exactly what I was supposed to do. Well, that's fine, but that is not, does not, will not make you a Christian. Let me tell you, you can be educated in Christian principles and not be a Christian. Amen? America is full of this. America is filled with people who think that America is a Christian nation, like some other nation might be called a Muslim nation or a Buddhist nation or something like that. They say our nation is Christian. So if you're an American, you're automatically a Christian. Baloney. You are not a Christian just because you are born in America and educated in Christian principles. Most people in America, most people, and it's changing, but most people in America, if you walk up and say, who's God? They believe the God of that Bible. If you say, who's His Son? They believe His Son is Jesus Christ. If you say, what's up there? They say heaven. If you say, what's down there? They say hell. They really believe, most people, regardless of what they try to convince you in the news media, most people believe Christian principles. But I'll say to you this morning, that does not make you a Christian. I believe Christian principles all of my life, but I was living like the devil and I was on my way to hell. That does not make you a Christian. Let me tell you something else you can be and not be a Christian. You can belong to a Christian church and not be a Christian. Now, if you think this is off the wall, go out and witness and stop 50 people and ask them the question. Just any town, Marion, Morgan, and Hickory. I ask, well, just stop the first 50 people you run into and say, are you a Christian? And listen to what they say. Somebody will say this. Sure, I was baptized 11 years ago. You know what that is? That is a weird answer. If somebody asks a man, are you a Christian? And the only thing you can go back to in your mind is you getting baptized, something's wrong somewhere. Let's suppose you came up to me this morning and you said, is your name Danny? And I said, yeah. And you said, are you married? And I'd say, let's see, I was baptized at Nebo Baptist Church. You'd say, now run that by me again now. I don't think you understood the question. Are you married? Well, I want you to know that the next Sunday after I got baptized, I joined the church. And I belonged there for years. You're going to start scratching your head and say, now, I'm not sure you understood me. Are you married? And I said, well, I'm trying the best I can to be. Well, a lot of people are, you know, but I'm not. You know what you'd do? You'd walk up and say, son, that guy's got rocks in his head. There's something weird about that dude. He can't even answer a straight question. I asked him, was he married? And he told me about getting baptized. I believe the guy's his bricks ain't laid straight. Something ain't right about that guy. Now listen, what a dumb answer when I ask you, are you a Christian? And you say, I was baptized. That ain't got nothing to do with it. You say, well, you're making me nervous because that's what I'm... Well, there's something wrong with you, friend. Listen, being a Christian, man, you're engaged to be married to the Lord Jesus Christ. You accept Him as your Savior. You belong to Him. He belong to you. It ain't got nothing to do with water. Some preachers might tell you it does, but it don't. You don't get in the water till you're already a Christian. And it don't do you no good to get in that water until you are a Christian. Man, you can be baptized in every creek in McDowell County. The tadpoles will know your social security number, and it don't make you a child of God or send you to heaven when you die. Amen. My soul, brother. I mean, you say, well, I go to church every Sunday. People say, I go to church every Sunday. You know, these people go to church every Sunday. It's crooked as a... If they fell in a barrel of fish hooks, they wouldn't get stuck till they hit the bottom all the way down. They screw their socks on in the morning, and they're crooked as a dog's hind leg, and still go to church on Sunday morning. That don't make you a Christian. You say, I go to church every Sunday. Well, just because you sat in a garage don't make you a car. Just because you sit in a bakery don't mean you're a donut. I mean, you can sit down in your fireplace and that don't make you a stick of wood, man. And you can come and sit in the church, that don't make you a Christian. Make you a Christian? You say, I belong to church. So what? So did Hitler. I ain't going to tell you which denomination. You have to figure it out. But it wasn't Baptist. I'll tell you something else. You can be buried in a Christian fashion and not be a Christian. You know what a lot of people do? They try to push somebody into heaven after they're gone. Oh, so my soul. I've been to funerals. And, you know, I try to say nice stuff at funerals. There's no use saying anything. I don't say anything bad to hurt people. They're already hurting enough. But I just can't get up at a funeral and lie about somebody. Amen. I usually, if I can't find nothing good, I mean, you know, surely they mowed somebody's grass 10 years ago or something. You can say something good about them. But, man, I have been to somewhere, you know, you scratch your head and think, my soul. All you can say is, well, he's gone. Now, what about you? That's about all you can do. And I've been to funerals where people got up and just bragged on. I've heard them preachers get up, just say what a wonderful fellow that was. Oh, he's just the best fellow ever was and all that. One of them that kept on and on and on and on like that. And finally, the mama punched her little boy and said, go up there and see if that's your daddy in that thing. It couldn't be him. They bound me somebody else laying in that. But listen, that you can buy you a big cherry wood casket. You ever seen them things? Man, $8,000 or $10,000. So big cherry wood. Boy, you can put a nice suit on them. And boy, you can have it all fixed up. You can have a choir singing, a preacher talk great. That's not going to help that person one little tiny bit. You're gone, brother. It's over. Somebody said, and you heard about the airplane crash this week and how terrible that was and everything. And somebody said we ought to pray for the victims. Or that on one of CNN or one of them. You wasting your time praying for the victims. It's too late. Bible says it's appointed a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. It don't do any good to pray for somebody after they're dead. It's fixed. It's eternal. It's over. Their chance is gone. Now, what is a Christian? You say, well, you told me good night. Everything I thought was a Christian. You said it wasn't. What is a Christian? Here's what a Christian is. A Christian is a person who has received Christ. That's where the word Christian comes from. Little Christ. Christian. Christian. You know, you take Christian and it's Christ and I-A-N. And somebody said, if you take Christ out of that, all you have is I-A-N. I am nothing. Brother, without Christ, you're nothing. Without Him, I'm nothing. Nothing good in me this morning. I don't deserve to stand here and preach the Word of God. You know, I stand here before you this morning and I got on a tie and I got a Bible in my hand. But without Jesus Christ, I'm nothing. But with Him, I'm everything God wants me to be. I've received Him as my Savior. The Bible said as many as received Him. Them gave you power to the sons of God. Not join the church, received Him. Everybody ought to join the church. Everybody ought to be a part. But it does not save you. A person who belongs to Christ. You belong to Him. Story like the little boy who made the little boat. And he had his little boat down playing with it one day. And he lost it and went down the river. And then one day he's walking downtown and he walked and he saw in a store and somebody had found that thing and took it to a hardware store or something and he saw his little boat in the window for sale. And he saw that boat and his heart jumped. And he said, that's my boat! And he saw that thing and his heart just moved for it and he saw the price tag on it and he went in and told the owner, he said, that's my boat. And he said, oh no, it's not. I paid a man money for that thing. It's mine. If you want it, you're going to have to come up with this money. So the little boy went out and bought, got all his money together and his savings and pennies and everything and come back and bought that little boat. When he come walking out of the store, he had it in his hand like that and he said, I made you and then I lost you. And now I bought you back, and you're mine again. And I heard that story, and I thought, you know, that's just what happened to us. The Lord made us, then He lost us to sin, and then He come down and died on the cross and paid the price and bought us back again. We belong to Him. You want me to show you how I know I'm a Christian?
The Bible says, trust Jesus. People say, what does that mean? All right, I'm going to show you what trust means. Watch me trust this chair right here. You don't believe I trust this chair? What? I would not do that in front of this many people if I didn't trust that chair. I don't want to fall on my back in front of this many people. See, so I trust it. See, I was pretty sure. If I thought that thing just hit the ground like that, I wouldn't do it. Watch me trust it. See, trust it. Putting all my weight upon it. Like this, see. I trust this chair. I trust it. You don't trust me, do you? You think, I trust this rail right here. See, it'll hold me up. It'll hold me up. I trust it. I trust this platform. You trust that one you're sitting on. Hey, you think that one's taking a beating? Look at them you're sitting on, man. They must be steel. I mean, but listen to me. You trust that chair. Now you have to do to Jesus Christ what you do to that chair. You can't say, oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no. It's not enough. It's not enough. I got to do this. I got to do it. Just sit back and relax, man. He's strong enough to hold your soul. Give him your soul. Trust him. Listen, I know I'm going to heaven this morning. I don't deserve it, but I know, brother, I'm just as good as there with the door shut behind me. I'm just as good as on gold streets this morning because I trust what he did for me on Calvary. Hallelujah. I'm going to heaven. Not because I deserve it, but because I've received what he done. That's enough to make me want to shout this morning. A person who's saved is the one who has a desire to live for Christ. People say, boy, I better get to work for the Lord or he'll send me to hell. You don't work for God to try to get to heaven. You go out and talk to people, you say, boy, you need to get right with the Lord. And they say, no, I know I need to start doing better. I know I need to start doing better. I know, and that's how the devil's got so many people confused. Because they can't do better, and they won't do better. And that's why they won't come to church. They say, well, I would come, preacher, but I'm just not ready to change. I just can't. I try to do better, and I can't. Listen, we don't serve God because we're trying to gain enough points for him to let us in heaven. We serve him because that we're saved and on our way to heaven, and it just puts a desire in your heart to want to do something to please him. Let me tell you, all these young people that's got on fire for the Lord lately, you just wouldn't believe. Just this week, I think they only missed one night of church this week, Monday. And they, you know, it went on till 12:30 Sunday night. Tuesday night, they all met up here and had prayer and Bible studies and wound up out giving out tracts and witnessing all of half a town. Wednesday night, we had service. Thursday night, there was a gang of them. You wouldn't believe a mob of visitation just spread out all over McDowell County. And just gained up. And Friday night, there's a bunch of them met up here at 7 o'clock. And I mean, this ain't scheduled service. These are just something they, let's do it, let's do it, let's do it. There's a desire. There's a desire to please the Lord when you get saved. He puts a desire. Friday night, they wound up out in Walmart parking lot singing and praying with people and everything else. Last night, up here till 12 o'clock, singing and crying and praying for the services today. I'm telling you, when you get saved, there's a desire. There's a desire. You can't get enough of it. You can't get enough of it. Like we used to be when I first got saved. I had them tell me, they said, we just like to live at the church. You know, you just like to hang around where God is. Now, that's a far different from these people that, you know, before you get the amen said, done got their car started. So the Methodists won't beat them in line at steakhouse. Preach it, brother. Amen. What is a Christian? You say, well, I'm better than so-and-so. That don't make you a Christian. You know what people do? You go out and ask people they're a Christian, they'll say, well, I think I am. I sure ain't like old, what's his name? You can always find somebody worse than you are. That ain't hard to do. I don't care how sorry you are, you can find somebody to do something you won't. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I know the Lord's going to take me to heaven because I've got to be better than him. Well, that ain't much to go on, brother. You can drown in 10 feet of water as quick as you can drown in 100 feet of water. You understand? They dropped you in 12 feet water and left you there for 2 or 3 days. You'd drown. You can't tread water forever. That's the way sin is. It don't matter if it's 10 foot deep or 100 feet deep. It'll take you down. The thing is, are your sins gone? Lastly, I'll say this and I'm through. What is it to be almost a Christian? What is it to be almost a Christian? Number one, it's to see your need and not confess it. It's to be sitting in a church just like this morning, hearing a preacher preach and sit there and say, that's me. That's me he's talking about. I've been to church most of my life. I've tried to do the right thing. But deep down inside, I know I've never really trusted the Lord. I see my need and not confess it and walk out these doors. The most dangerous thing you've ever did in your life, you hear me, is not bungee jump or go over Niagara Falls in a barrel. The most dangerous thing you ever done in your life is to hear a gospel preacher and see your need and realize you're lost and turn around and walk out a church door. That's the most dangerous thing a person can do. Most dangerous thing you can do. It is to wish to be saved and remain undecided. I wish I could tell you the time. Sometimes I wish I had an invisible video camera and I had somebody who could film what goes on in Invitation. When I'm off preaching, I'll be preaching all this week in Kentucky, and I'm preaching about 30 different churches a year besides this one, and I see some sides. I've seen teenage girls stand back there and just doing like this, wiping the tears. And I'm saying, come on, come on, come on. And they're standing there like this and wiping their face like that. And I've seen their friends stand beside them and say, I'll go pray with you. Or somebody put their arm around them. And I've seen their head shake like this and say, no. No, they've got a boyfriend or they've got a drug or they've got something that they're holding on to. And they're saying, I just can't do it because of that. I just can't. Listen, what it is to almost be a Christian is to wish to be saved and remain undecided. It's to realize I need it. I need what those other young people's got. I need what that preacher's talking about. I know there's something missing in my heart. But still say, no, not today. It is to be at the door and remain outside. It's to be at the door and remain outside. You ever realize what a big word almost is? Say it's the World Series that they used to have. And the guy's coming around in home base, and he's headed toward home base, and everybody's, and you know, and he slides like that and goes into home, and the ball comes in and goes like that. And the umpire goes, you're out! And they replay that thing over and over and over on that video, and it wasn't a half an inch. They tagged that fella out, and it made the whole difference. It made the difference between thousands and tens of thousands of dollars. It made the difference between trophies and rejoicing and crying. It made all that difference. Almost. Almost. And that fella can go around all his life saying, I almost made it. I almost made it. If I'd have made it, we'd have won. We'd have won. But almost is not. You can have tons of good intentions. You can say, I really do want to do this one of these days, and still die without God and miss heaven when you leave here. It's like almost getting the baby out of the burning building. Fireman comes out and the woman says, did you get it? Did you get it? He said, ma'am, we didn't get it. We almost got it. If that'll make you feel better. She said, no, it don't make me feel better. If you almost got it, I mean, listen, if you miss something, you might as well miss it a mile, miss it an inch. You missed it. You miss heaven. You blew it. Do you people realize this morning that every one of you are going to live forever somewhere? It's going to be heaven or it's going to be hell, and you cannot afford to take a chance on it. If you're not sure you're saved, you need to get sure today. Not tomorrow, not next Sunday. Today! There's a lot of people in hell screaming this morning, almost. I almost did it. I almost did it. There's a lot of them on the ship that went down that said, I almost got on the life. Just about. You say, well, that car come around the curve and he was on the wrong side of the road and we almost missed him. But you didn't miss him. A lot of difference between missing him and almost missing him. You saw that guy pull out a gun. He fired and I almost got out of the way. But he hit you. And that's the way this thing of salvation is. You can almost be persuaded to get saved and die and go to hell just like a rebel who never intended to get saved and had no confidence or faith at all in the Bible at all. You wind up in the same place as he winds up. I wonder this morning, there's somebody in here that's almost persuaded. I'm serious when I say this, and I know there's a lot of people in here. I don't doubt in my mind there's somebody in this church that you've been thinking about being saved. It's been bothering you. And listen, it's about time you fix. It's about time you've done it, don't you think? Don't you think you've waited long enough? Don't you think that one more Sunday might be too late? Don't you think that while you're alive, you better go ahead and do it? Have every head bowed and every eye closed. Christians are praying. They're coming to meet the instruments this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one moving. Can I ask you this question? Do you know that you're going to heaven if you die today? You absolutely know it. You say, well, that embarrasses me. I don't mean to embarrass you. I wouldn't put you on the spot or for nothing in this world. That's not my purpose. My purpose is to get you to think and to search your heart and ask yourself the question, am I saved? Young people, your kids that come on the buses, are you saved? Do you know for a fact that you're a Christian? Visitor, deep down inside you, the Lord might have just brought you here today just to hear this message. I don't know. God works in mysterious ways. You're not here by accident today. Somebody needed to hear this message. Are you a Christian? If you're here and you say, Brother Danny, I'm not, or I'm not sure, you need to get right with the Lord. Sure, I need you to pray. I want this church, New Manna Baptist Church, to pray for me this morning that I'll settle this thing between me and God. Something ain't right. Please pray for me. Would you just slip up your hand? Let us pray for you this morning all over the building. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. That's about four or five. God bless you. We're not going to embarrass you. Nobody's going to come to you or nothing like that. We just want to pray for you. Anybody else? Would you be man enough? God bless you, sir. Would you be man enough or woman enough? You've got to get honest about this sooner or later. God bless you, ma'am. Anybody else? That's at least four adults this morning that need the Lord here this morning. Y'all pray. Why don't you settle this thing, friend? Look, what have you got to lose? What have you got to lose? You might as well just come on to this altar this morning and get this thing right with God. Something's already coming. One's already coming. God may be dealing with you. Settle this issue once and for all. We need some ladies up here to pray with these girls over here. God's dealing with your heart this morning. Don't you be too proud. Listen, pride sent a lot of people to hell, brother, just because they're too proud to step out in front of somebody. Jesus wasn't ashamed to die on that cross for you. Right out in public. He wasn't ashamed. Don't you be ashamed to step out for Him. Heavenly Father, please do a great work here in the hearts of people. Lord, knock down those barriers. Break down those walls. Lord, stop that resistance. Rebuke the devil and his demons. I pray you'd open up the way clear and plain this morning that people could find their way to the cross of Calvary and be saved by the grace of God. Do it, Lord, this morning for Jesus' sake. Help that man, that woman, help that boy, that girl who's not saved to come and be saved this morning. Help that one who's not sure to settle it this morning and get right with Thee. We'll praise You and thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing this morning. If God's speaking to your heart, you want to join these on the altar, just get out of your seat. Come on. Come on. Just get out of your seat and come right now.
Just as I am without.
Come on.
One plea,
come on right now. Come.
But that thy blood.
Amen.
Was shed for me.
Come on, right now.
Of God I come.
Amen.
I come.
Let's sing, everybody. Everybody sing it.
Just as I am.
Amen. Come on. Come on. If you're not saved, come right now. Come on, right now. Just move. Move up. Get saved this morning. Get right with the Lord. Amen. Come on. Come on.
Whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
Amen.
I come.
Let's sing. Another verse. Let's sing it. Everybody.
Just as
sing it.
I am.
Praying this morning. This may not be the most important thing in the world to you this morning, but one day it will. When you're getting ready to draw your last breath and leave this world, ain't nothing gonna matter except what I've talked about this morning. Don't walk out of here this morning almost a Christian. Don't do it. That's the most terrible mistake you can make. What you're doing, you're pushing God, brother. You're pushing Him. You're pushing Him. God's merciful. One day His mercy runs out.